as much. Thank you. All right, we'll say good morning. First of all, our Shir this morning is sponsored by Hal and Vicki King, in memory of the art site of Hal's grandfather, Charles Wolin's Bitsalel Ben Avram. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, his neshama will have an aliyah.
Amen.
Thank you for the sponsorship, Hal. Okay, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So remember again, we left off. Actually, today's daf is Yud Aleph. We left off on the last line of Yud Amud Beis. So if you remember again, we were dealing with the Machlokesim Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan, namely about the Lishkas Parhedrin, but whether or not the room in which the Kohen Gadol was sequestered is a room that requires a mezuzah or not. So we had a Machlokes Abaye and Rava about what the Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan actually was. So we left off with the position of Abaye, the position of Rava, everybody agrees that during the rest of the year, the Lishkas Parhedrin does not require a mezuzah. Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanan is during the 7 days. Now, both agree at the end of the day that the Rabbanan say Midaraisa requires a mezuzah. Why? Because Dira Bal Korcha is Shma Dira. Even a forced residence is called a residence. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds Dira Bal Korcha Lo Shma Dira. It's not called a residence. But the only reason that you require a Lishkas Parhedrin is why? That people should not say it to Kohen Gadol's Chavish Rabbeis Hasri. People should not say it to Kohen Gadol's been incarcerated. Therefore, we put a mezuzah on there that it should look like a residence, even though in reality it's not a residence. So the Gemara says, Man Tana Lehu D'Tan Rabbanan. So who is the opinion of the following rabbinic statement? Top of Yud Aleph. Kol HaSha'arim Shehayu Sham, all of the gates in the Beis HaMikdash, and Rashi points out over here, when it says all the gates, it doesn't literally mean all of the gates. It's referring to the Sha'ari Mizrach Azara, the gates on the eastern side of the temple courtyard. Kol HaSha'arim Shehayu Sham Lehayu Lehem Mezuzah. None of them had a mezuzah. Chutz Shar Nikanor, with the exception of Shar Nikanor. Now, if you remember again, we actually mentioned Shar Nikanor in Shkalim as well, and we'll discuss the story of Nikanor, which is in Maseches Yuma. So, none of the gates had mezuzah except for Shar Nikanor. Why? Shelifnim mimenu lishkas parhedrin. What was unique about Shar Nikanor? That Shar Nikanor was an outside exit to lishkas parhedrin. So we'll see. The truth is, again, I don't know if the art scholar has pictures over here, but it's not really. So the point is, there was an outside entrance. You didn't have to go through the actual courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash in order to be able to get into the Lishkas Parhedrin. There was actually an outside exit. It was like a side door that allowed you to enter into the Lishkas Parhedrin, and that had a mezuzah. So whose opinion is this? So the Gemara says, so now what we have is, Not only does the Lishkas Parhedrin have a mezuzah, but the doorway, the doorway leading in to the Lishkas Parhedrin also had a mezuzah. So whose opinion is that? So the Gemara says, Lema Rabbanan Hivelo Rabbi Yehuda. It must be the Rabbanan, not Rabbi Yehuda. Why? The Rabbi Yehuda, because if it was Rabbi Yehuda, he gufa gzeira v'anoniko menigzera gzeira l'gzeira. Because also remember, Rabbi Yehuda to begin with holds that having a mezuzah on Lishkas Parhedrin is a gzeira. A gzeira of what? We don't want the Kohen Gadol to look like he's incarcerated. Yeah. So in general, whenever you have a gezeira, we don't like to build gezeiros on top of gezeiros. So if the Lishkas Parhedrin to begin with is a gezeira, then to go ahead and put another mezuzah on Shar Nikanor would be what? A gezeira on top of the gezeira, and that we don't do. Therefore, this brisa must reflect the view of the Rabbanon, to which the Gemara says, not necessarily, afilu tema Rabbi Yehuda, it could even be Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Kula chad gezeira. Because it could be that it's all one gezerah. What does that mean? That the gezerah of Chazal is that in order that Lishkas Parhedrin should not look like a jail. So what do? We put a mezuzah on all of the doorways associated with Lishkas Parhedrin. So that would be Lishka, the chamber itself, as well as Shar Nikanor, which is the gateway that leads into the Lishka. Okay. The point the Gemara is saying is it could go according to either one. Tanu Rabbanan. So now we're going to spend a little bit of time on the halachos of mezuzah. So the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan. B'sha'arecha. So remember, the Torah says, "Ksavtom al mezuzos be'secha u'b'sha'arecha." You're supposed to go ahead and write the mezuzos, and you're supposed to put them on your homes and on your gateways. So the Gemara says, what does this refer to? Echad sha'arei batim. Now, we'll say, obviously, be'secha is easy. Be'secha means your home. What is sha'arecha? What does your gateways mean? So the Gemara says, echad sha'arei batim. It refers to the gateways of your home. Also, remember, in Mishnaic times, and certainly in Talmudic times, so you wouldn't, it's not like today where a person just has a front yard and you walk in. They were gated. So you'd have a courtyard, but courtyards were often enclosed. That's why you know, very halacha lemaisa, it's hard for us to imagine this. Although in Eretz Yisrael, you do see it all the time, of course, is Ner Chanukah. So where was Ner Chanukah actually lit? See, Ner Chanukah was not lit by the doorway of your home. Ner Chanukah was more often lit by the entranceway to your courtyard. So people would have a courtyard. The courtyard itself had an actual like door frame, and you would light the head of mezuzah, and you would light the Ner Chanukah there, because again, that was your home was often recessed into your property. So the courtyard, the entrance near the courtyard, is what would abut the street. So that's where you would light the Ner Chanukah. So b'sharechas, what does it come to include? Whether it's the gates of your home, echad shari chatzeros, the gates of your courtyards, the echad shari medinos, the gates of countries. Look at Rashi. Yesh medina mukefes harim. There are certain countries that are surrounded by mountains, the ya'arim and forests, the kamaparsos, the enyotzim imena eladerach sharim kigon eretz hagar. So I will say, so again, so there are some countries that are surrounded either by forests or ultimately by mountains. And so there was one way in to the particular country, and they'd have like a doorway there. They'd have a shar, they'd have a gate. You have to put a mezuzah on that also. The echad shari ayaros, or the gates of cities, yesh bohen chovas mitzvah, the makom. There is an obligation, literally chovas mitzvah, the makom, there's an obligation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mishum shenamar uksavtam al mezuzos beisecho b'sharach. I will say, obviously, the Gemara here is not getting into what the definition of a doorway is, right? That really we're not getting into right now. But the Gemara is saying, suffice to say that if it satisfies the criteria of a doorway, whatever that may be, then the mice, again, you have to put a mezuzah on all of these areas. Omoli abay l'Rav Safra. Sabai said to Rav Safra, but one second, if that's the case, Hani avoli demechuzah my tamilu avtumuchu rabban mezuzah. So Rabbi says to Rav Safra, if that's the case, then the avoli demechuzah, Rashi says, avoli demechuzah, sha'ari ir, the gates of the city of Mechuzah, and there's a majority of Jewish people living in there. Why don't those gateways have a mezuzah? Amalei, hano chizuk l'akra dekubihu da'avidi. Because those entranceways, those gateways, they're not really there for their own purpose, but rather they're there to support the Tower of Kubi. Now, what does that mean? Look at Rashi for just a moment over here. La'akra de Kubi, binyan banui alehen. So you have both say, in Mechuzah, apparently, at the entranceway of the city, there was a structure that was built on top of the gateway at the entrance. V'nikra Kubi, and it's called Kubi, it's called the Kubi Tower. V'hasha'arim tachtov asuin kikipa. So apparently in Mechuzah, what they had is when you entered into the city, there was this Akra de Kubi, there was this Kubi Tower, and the Kubi Tower was built on top of an archway. So the archway was really there only for what purpose? To support the Kubi Tower. If that case, so therefore Rav Safra was saying that's why they didn't put a mezuzah on it, because it wasn't really there to serve as primarily as a doorway, it was there to serve as a support for the tower that was on top of it. So the Gemara says, Amar Lei. So then he responds, but if the truth is the fact that the Kubi Tower is there should by itself necessitate a mezuzah. Why? He says the ha is be dira l'shomer be sa'asurin, because the Kubi Tower itself had what Rabosai had a domicile. Literally, it had an apartment in there for the warden. So again, I guess the jail, the local jail in Mechuzah was somewhere close to that. And there was an apartment in the Kubi Tower for the warden of the jail. Now, Bosse said, now, if you say that, that means now that the Kubi Tower is a residence. If the Kubi Tower is a residence, then the entranceway, the archway now becomes an entranceway to the residence, in which case what? It should require mezuzah. And not even because it's an entranceway to Mechuzah, it should require mezuzah. Why? Because it's mamish an entranceway to a domicile, to a living quarters, to a home. The Hatanya, because we learned... Because we learned, so the Gemara says, "Da'atanya beisak neses shiish bo beisdira." If you have a shul that has an apartment in it, also remember historically, shuls often had living spaces in it. Why? So there's a couple of reasons. First of all, because travelers would often stay in the shul. That's the way it worked. People, when traveling through, would stay in the shul. And also because you had a Shabbos or a Yom, right, who would live in the shul. That was part of the Shabbos' package. That the Shabbos, you know, the Shabbos got the room. I don't know, board, but at least room. So the Gemara says, therefore, if you have a shul that has an apartment in a dwelling space in it, to the Shabbos, chayeves b'mezuzah. It's chayev in mezuzah. I will say, you should know, we happen to pass in today that we put mezuzahs on shuls, even though, me'ikar adin, you don't need it. You don't need a mezuzah on a shul because a shul, again, today people don't really live in the shul. people sleep in shul, which again, according to some, maybe it's tira. But because people don't live in shul, l'maisa again, l'maisa, there's no chiyuv mezuzah. But the minhag is that we put up mezuzahs on shuls anyway. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye. So now again, based on what we just said before, the only reason the Gemara is bringing up this Beis HaKnesses thing is because you see that even if you have a non-residential space, like a shul, but ultimately people establish residence there, that makes it chayav in mezuzah. So to the same logic would apply to the Kubi Tower. Even though the Kubi Tower may, in its essence, not necessarily be designated as a residence, but since it has a residence inside of it, it should require a mezuzah. Now, we're not worried about the door of the warden's apartment. We're talking about now is the very entrance, the bottom entrance into the Kubi Tower should require a mezuzah. To which the Gemara says, "Elo Amar Abaye Mishum Sakaram." You know why we don't put a mezuzah there on the entrance of the Kubi Tower? Because of sakana. What's the sakana? Disanya. First of all, look at Rashi. I'll say Mishum Sakana Shelo Yomar Hamelech Shafim Asisa Mishare Yair. What the concern is that what's going to happen? There are obviously Mechuzah is not ruled by a Jewish government, and there was a concern that if they see the Jews putting up a mezuzah by the entrance, what are they going to accuse the Jews of? They're going to accuse the Jews of sorcery and witchcraft. So the Gemara says Desanyo, because there's a rice that says mezuzas yachid nevdekes pamam bishavu. Arbo says halacha lemaisa. You have to check your mezuzah twice every 7 years. Chaim Kanievsky Shlita has a sefer on Hilchos Mezuzah, and in it he says, what does it mean once, twice every 7.5 years? 7 years? It really means once every 3.5 years. Meaning, because the truth is, you could say, well, maybe it means, you know, I'm not going to do anything for the first 5 years, and I'll check it once in year six and once in year seven. No, it means every 3.5 years a person should have their mezuzahs checked. However, Vishal Rabim, however, for public mezuzahs, meaning mezuzahs on public areas, Pa'amayim b'yovel. This is very interesting. Twice a yovel. So remember, again, right? So once every 25 years. Now, also, what's interesting about this is the following. Look at Rashi. Why such a disparity? Why such a difference? So look at Rashi, and this is very, it's actually very profound. So Rashi says, Pa'amayim b'yovel. So he says, Kol davar shehu shel rabim, ein lehatriach alav harbe. Because anything that has to do with the public, you don't really want to put upon the public too much. Why? Shem tichrach yehi kol echad omer ya'asu chaveri. Chaveri. Because what happens, I'm also in general with communal affairs, everybody assumes that someone else is doing it. So what's going to happen? If you make it very taxing, no one's going to do it. If you make it relatively easy, like twice in 50 years, the hope is the community will get its act together and appoint someone to take care of the job. So again, even though it's almost like you feel Chazal would want them to do it more often, but there's a concern that people don't necessarily always rise to the occasion. So the Gemara says, "I'm Rabbi Huda." Maisa ba'artavin echad. There was an episode with an artavin. Now I will say artavin. Rashi says it's either Shema Ish, either it's the guy's name, or that it's the name of his profession. But Rashi doesn't define what profession that is. So there was a story with artavin. Let's go with that. It's his name. So Mr. Artavin, Shahaya Bodik Mezuzas Peshuka Elyon. He was checking mezuzas. In the upper marketplace, Shel Tzipori of Tzipori, Umatzal Kastor Echon. And a Kastor is a Roman official. A Roman official saw him checking the mezuzahs. And what happened? And assumed that he was engaged in some type of sorcery and witchcraft. And therefore, what? Benatal Mimeno Elef Zuz. And he fined him 1,000 zuz. So also what the Gemara is suggesting over here is, yes, we should put up mezuzahs on the entrance to have mechuzah, but we can't. You know why we can't? Because we could get into a lot of trouble with the Gentile authorities. Listen to this. But how could our tavin have gotten fined, such an exorbitant fine, for taking care of the mezuzah? After all, we have the concept of also that when one is on a mitzvah mission, they are protected from all harm. Right? They're protected from all harm. So the Gemara says, no, listen to this. Hecha de kviya hezeka shiny. If you're doing something that's inherently dangerous, then lemaisa, again, the mitzvah does not protect you. What does the mitzvah protect you from? The mitzvah protects you from general danger. But if you're in a situation of acute danger, so what is the halacha? The halacha is don't do the mitzvah. Don't undertake the acute danger. In general, there's danger with everything we do. So we assume the mitzvah will protect us. Acute danger, the mitzvah doesn't protect you. And the Gemara gives an example of this. Tichsiv, Vayomer Shmuel Eich Eilech V'shamashol V'argeni. We'll say this is the episode where God tells Shmuel Hanavi to go and anoint one of the sons of Yishai. And what happens? And Shmuel says, how am I supposed to go and anoint one of the sons of Yishai? Shaul is going to hear that I'm anointing another king, and what's going to happen? And he's going to kill me. To which the Gemara says, Vayomer Hashem eglas bakar tikach. So God says, listen, go take an animal, go take an eglas bakar, v'yadecha in your hand, v'amartel izbach la'Hashem basi. So God says to Shmuel, listen, take an animal, and if anybody stops you, tell them that you're going to offer a carbon. They both said, why is this very dramatic? Because here God himself is telling Shmuel to do something. You would generally assume that if God gives you explicit marching orders, don't worry about the danger. God's got it covered. And yet what? You see that the Ribono Shel Olam tells Shmuel HaNavi, you're right, take precautions. Take precautions. So from here, the Gemara says that in a concept of what he calls with Shriach Hezekah, where it's an acutely dangerous situation, one does have to take the necessary precautions, and one can't just rely on the mitzvah to protect them. Tani Rav Kahana Kamed Rav Yehuda. So Rav Kahana taught before, the following before Rav Yehuda. Beis HaTeven, Beis HaBokar, Beis HaItzim, Beis HaOtzo. So I will say Beis HaTeven, these are all storehouses. So Beis HaTeven is where you store your straw. Beis HaBokar is like a barn or a stable where you put your cows. Beis HaItzim, where you store your wood. Beis HaOtzo is a general storage house. So the halach is in all these cases, peturin min ha-mezuzah. In all these cases, all these spaces are parted from mezuzah. Why? Mipnei shehanoshim na'osos bahen. Literally because the women beautify themselves in this place. The Gemara says, what does that mean? Umay na'osos, rochtsos. So because women would often bathe in these areas, essentially these areas take on the status almost of like a bathhouse, and therefore lemaisi, you don't have to put a mezuzah on it. Amrali Rabbi Yehuda said, well, if that's the case, Taima de Rochzos. The reason why you're telling me that storehouses don't need a mezuzah is why? Because women use it as a bathhouse. Hastama, but apparently, again, just a regular storehouse that's not used for bathing purposes. Chayotin would be chayvin mezuzah. But if that's the case, but we learned Vahatanya, we learned Refes Bakar, mezuzah. But we learned that a stable, Refes Bakar, literally is a cow stable. I don't know if that's the right word for where you keep cows, but.
Cow shed.
Oh, good. Cow shed. David, that was fast. Good. So what happens? So the cow shed is pata min ha-mezuzah. It's pata min ha-mezuzah. Ela mai na'osa. So we'll say, so now what Rabbi Yehuda is pointing out is that you make it sound like the only reason why these storehouses ultimately are not chayav mezuzah is because they're bathed in there, which indicates then that stam, they would be chayav mezuzah. Why a brisa that says that even stam is pata from mezuzah. Ela mai na'osos, rather, what does it mean na'osos? Miskashtos. It means it's where they often adorn themselves. V'hachi katani, and this is what the Brisa means to say. Afa pi shanashim miskashtos b'hen p'turin. So the Rabbi Yehuda understands it is what the Brisa is saying is even though the women beautify themselves in these areas, still it does not mechayv mezuzah. So Rabbi Yehuda is switching around. Rabbi Yehuda is saying that the havamina is that since these areas are used for almost dwelling-like purposes. So the women use these spaces. They put on their makeup there, whatever they do there. I guess you have to understand also something, that homes were traditionally much smaller. So people utilize, it's the same way that we know that people utilize their rooftops, people utilize their courtyards much more. So I guess it wasn't an uncommon thing that when you had storage areas and an extra space, women would utilize this space, whether it was for bathing or for something else. Rabbi Yehuda is saying that even though a woman is utilizing this space and therefore it may take on certain domicile-like qualities, it is still pata from mezuzah. Amar le Rav Kahana said, v'shanoshim miskashtos ban peturin. Is that true? That if a woman actually uses this space to beautify herself, that it's pata from mezuzah. V'atanya, but we learned, refes bakar peturin min ha-mezuzah. Normally a cow stable, right? A cow storage area, the cow shed, excuse me, is pata from mezuzah. But here you have the brace that says what? That if women actually use the space and adorn themselves in this space, that lanaisa, it's chayvin mezuzah. Rather, what do you have to say? Miskashtos tanoihi, you have to say that it's a machlokis tanoim. So apparently, the machlokis tanoim will be that if a woman actually uses this space in a storage area, does that convert the storage area into a domicile? And therefore, again, lanaisa, it's chayvin mezuzah or not? L'didi nami stama tanoihi. And Rav Kahana says, and the truth is, in my opinion, even a stam storage place, even a storage space that's not utilized for any domicile-like activities is also machlokes tanoim if it's chayvin mezuzah. Disanya. Because what does the Brisa say? Beischo. Both the Torah says, uksavtom al mezuzos beisecho. Beisecho, your home. So what does beisecho come to say? So the Gemara says, beisecho, beischo, or beisecho, hamiyuchad l'cha. What does this come to include, Rabosai? It comes to include a home that is exclusively yours. Prat lebeis hateven. Or I should say, a home that's set aside for your exclusive use. Prat lebeis hateven. It comes to exclude the storage house for straw, the storage house where you keep your cattle, or the base ha'itzim, where you keep your wood, or the base ha'otros, and the storage house. So we'll say, this first opinion is darshining, beisecha comes to say a home, a place that is used exclusively for living. It comes to exclude any other place that's not used exclusively for living, that's used for storage, and even if what? Even the ma'aseh, if it's used a little bit for some type of living-like activities, the ma'aseh is l'pater mezuzah, v'yesh mechayvin. And there are others who say that it's chayv. In reality, they said, Beis HaKise, Ubeis HaBorsiki, Ubeis HaMerchatz, Ubeis HaTviva. Beis HaKise, we'll say, is a bathroom. Beis HaBorsiki is a tannery. Beis HaMerchatz is a bathhouse. Beis HaTviva is a structure that contains a mikvah. Mm-hmm. Ubeis HaTviva Shanashim, the osel spine. And a mikvah, or call them, okay, a mikvah structure in which the women go ahead and utilize in all of these cases, Pitur Mina Mezuzah. Rabosai, in all of these cases, all of these places are part of Mezuzah. Rabosai, the common denominator, of course, in all of these places is they either have a stench or they're a place that's used by people who are unclothed. Either way, because it's not what's called the Bakavadic usage, therefore it will be exempt. The truth is, it's Beis HaKise has the odor issue, Beis HaBorsiki has the odor issue, Beis HaMerchatz has the odor and also the unclothed issue, and Beis HaTfila also has the odor and unclothed issue. So the Gemara says, Rav Kahana, Metaris Tamei, Rav Yehuda Metaris Tamei. So we'll say, here you have a Braisa that seems to indicate what? That Lamaisa, these areas are all exempt from Mezuzah. So Rav Kahana and Rav Yehuda will both interpret this according to their reasoning. Rav Kahana Metaris Tamei, Rav Kahana said, Rav Kahana will explain it according to his reasoning. Beischa, or Beisecha, what does it mean, Beisecha? Hamiyu Beisecha, Hamiyuchad Lecha. It comes to teach that the only thing Chayv in Mezuzah is a home that is specified or set aside for your own living use. Prat, Lebeis HaTeven, Ulebeis HaBakar, Ulebeis HaItzim, Ulebeis HaOtzros, Shepeturin Mina Mezuzah, Bistam. So Rav Kahana will say, Beisecha comes to teach you that the only type of structure that's Chayv Mezuzah is what? A structure that you mamish use for your own dwelling purposes. But a structure that is used primarily for a non-living purpose, like storage, even if what? So right, so that's used for a non-living purpose like storage, is not Chayv in Mezuzah. Bistam. Now we'll say, what does Bistam mean? Look at Rashi over here. Rashi says, Bistam means, I will say, that in a regular case. So Bistam means it's not set aside for any additional purpose other than storage. The Yesh Shemechayv in Bistam. But there are others who say that all of these storage areas are Chayiv Bistam as well. Bistam means even if just a Stam storage area is still going to be Chayiv in Mezuzah. So the Gemara says, Be'emes Amru, in reality they said, if you look at Rashi for just a moment, Rashi says over here, V'yesh mechayvin, v'haynu tanoi, and here is the machlokes tanoi, v'chol chad min amoroi mitaritz atamei, rav kan mitaritz, the bistam apligi, ava miskashto, so herein lies the fundamental machlokes tanoi, that do you have an obligation to place a mezuzah on a stam storage area? So stam storage area means a storage area that's not necessarily used for any kind of domicile purposes. It's just used for storage purposes. Do you have an obligation to put a mezuzah? Machlok yes tanoim. Be'emesam, in reality, they said, Beis HaKise, Beis HaBorsiki, Beis HaMerchatz, Beis HaTvila, Shanoshin Le'osel Spahen. So I'll say, furthermore, they said that a bathroom, a tannery, bathhouse, and a Beis HaTvila in which women beautify themselves. Umay Ne'osos, what does it mean, Ne'osos? Rochtsos, it means they bathe. Piturim Min HaMezuzah, they're ultimately exempt. It's also exempt from mezuzah. Ihachi haynu merchatz. But one second, if that's the case, Rav Osai, that Beis HaTvila Shanashim Ne'osos Bahen is a place where women bathe, then that's a bathhouse. Then you've repeated the same case twice. To which the Gemara says, no. You need both. Why? Ashma ina merchatz the rabbi, ashma ina merchatz the yachid. The Gemara needs a teaching about a private, a personal bathhouse and a public bathhouse. Why? To sagadai tchamina, I might have thought merchatz the rabbi l'nafesh zuama. I might have thought that what? You're only pater mezuzah when? In a public bathhouse. Why? Because obviously a public bath has a much stronger odor, simply because of the fact that lemaisa it's used by everyone. But I might have thought that a personal bathhouse where there's not going to be such a strong odor should not be chayiv mezuzah. Kamash malon, no. That even a private bathhouse is exempt from mezuzah as well. Rabbi Yehuda mitzayis. Rabbi Yehuda, I will interpret the price according to his reasoning. Hachi katani, this is what it means. Beisecha, Torah says beisecha, beischa, beisecha hamiyuchad lecha. It's a home that ultimately is miyuchad for your own purpose. Prat lebeis ha-teven, ubeis ha-bakar, ubeis ha-itzim, ubeis ha-otzros. It comes to exclude all of these storage areas. Shepeturim mina mezuzah, that are exempt from mezuzah. Afilu miskashtos. Even if what? Even if the women use it to beautify themselves. V'yesh mechayvin. But there are those who say it's just still chayiv. And v'yesh mechayvin b'miskashtos. And there are those who say that they will be chayiv. Ultimately, these spaces are used. Aval stam. But if it's just a stam case. Divrei ha'kol potter. Everybody will agree that l'maisa, these spaces are not chayiv. Be'emes, somewhere in reality, they said, in all of these spaces, the bathroom, the tannery, the bathhouse, and the Beis HaTvila, even though the women beautify themselves in these areas, they're exempt from mezuzah, because there's a strong odor. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, what comes out is that a stam case, and we'll say stam means a storage area that's not used for any living purposes, meaning any day-to-day activity purposes, meaning your own personal purposes. Rabbi Yehuda will say that such an area is exempt from mezuzah. Is that true? But what happened? V'atanya, but we learn, b'sha'arecha, when the Torah says in your gateways, echad sha'arei batim, this refers to the gates of one's home, ve'echad sha'arei chateros, the gates of one's chatzar, ve'echad sha'arei medinos, the gates of a city, of a country, ve'echad sha'arei ayaros, the gates of a city, ve'refes, ve'lulin, u'mitvan, ve'otzrosayin, ve'otzros, shemen, and a stable, chicken coops, a straw storehouse, a wine storehouse, and an oil storehouse, are all chayavin in mezuzah. Can I both say again? So what does the Brisa say? The Brisa explicitly says that a storage area is chayavin mezuzah, and even what? And even stem, even if it's not specified for some type of living use, to which the Gemara says, Yochol shani mar be'af, amadeiz, af beis sharach sadra, umir pesas. So I might have thought that perhaps this should also come to include a beis shar. So we'll say beis shar is, Rashi points out over here, beis shar, is bayis katan she'osin lefnei shara chatzer v'akol osin osa kapendaria. So this was a little house, a little structure at the entranceway of a city that people just used in order to get through, in order to get into the city. But it's not a real domicile. Achsadra is a portico. It's an area. It's an outdoor area that has a doorway to enter into it, but is not roofed. Or mirpeses. Mirpeses, we saw mirpeses extensively in Erevin. Mirpeses in a two-story structure. So the mirpeses would be the
porch
area. A porch area. So if you can imagine, often there was a doorway. There was a doorway from the first level into the second level. So you might have thought that all of these areas would be chayav in mezuzah. So the Gemara says Talmud Lomar bayis. Therefore, the Torah says bayis. Ma bayis hamiyuchad ledira, just as a home is set aside for domicile purposes, yatsu elu she'en miyuchadim ledira. Therefore, this comes to exclude all of these other areas that are not set aside for actual living or dwelling purposes. Yochosh, I will say, now you should just know, the mirpeses case is a big kasha as to why that's not chayav in mezuzah, because that is an entranceway right into somebody's living quarters, but we're not going to deal with that today. So the Gemara says the following: Yochol shanimar ve'af beis akisya beis aborseki. So I might have thought that we should also include a bathroom and the tannery and the chiyav and mezuzah. So beis amercha to beis atvila. Talmud lomar bayis. Therefore, the Torah says bayis. Ma bayis ha'asui lekavod. Just as Rabbi say, a bayis is something that is set aside for an appropriate and bakavodic usage. Af kol ha'asui lekavod. So to you only chayav to place mezuzah on things that are used in a bakavodic, honorable fashion. Yatsu Elivis comes to exclude these particular places, She'ein Asuyin Lekavod, that are not designated for a Bakavadic usage, namely like a bathroom, a bathhouse, a Beis HaTvila, Yochol, okay, so Yochol Shani Marbe, Af Harabayis Valishko. So also, I might have thought that Lemaisa, that Lamaisa should also come to include the Harabayis and all of the chambers, Va'azaros, and the courtyards. Talmud Lomar Bayis. Therefore, the Torah says Bayis. Ma Bayis Shuchol. Just like a Bayis is mundane, it's not sanctified. Af Kol Shuchol. Therefore, the only thing that's chayv in mezuzah is water bosai, is a place that is not set aside for consecrated use. Yotzu Elu Shein Kodesh. It comes to exclude those things that are Kodesh. It's like the Beis HaMikdash. So also here, interesting enough, the Gemara is actually learning out the exemption. The Beis HaMikdash did not have mezuzahs, apparently except for the chambers that we spoke about before. Why? Because biblically, it's excluded from Beis Echa. Beis Echa. Beis Echa only comes to include a home. It says Zem is Lamaisa. Beis Echa only comes to include a home. That is dafka yours, yours meaning it's not consecrated. Therefore, the ma'aseh comes to exclude the Beis HaMikdash from the chiyuv of mezuzah because the Beis HaMikdash is consecrated. Okay, so also just so you should know. Let's go ahead a little bit before we do the halacha ma'aseh. Therefore, the Gemara says tiyufta, meaning also tiyufta means we've effectively refuted Rabbi Yehuda's position. Rabbi Yehuda felt that everybody agrees that in a stam case of a storage area. Everyone agrees that there's no chiyuv in mezuzah. That is Rabbi Yehuda's position. We've effectively refuted Rabbi Yehuda's position in telling us what? That there is a machlokes. Meaning we haven't ruled conclusively yet, but we have established that there is a machlokes even by a stam storage area. So also that means, lemaisa, again, that there's machlokes if you have a storage area for straw, for your cattle, for whatever else, even if it's not used for any activities of daily living, actual living, lemaisa, there is still a machlokas as to whether or not it's chayv in mezuzah. So the Gemara says the following: Tani Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda kamei Rav Sheshes. So Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda taught the following idea for the Rav Sheshes: Sha'arim piturim imin mezuzah. Sha'arim means gateways. Gateways are exempt from mezuzah. Okay, we'll define what this means in just a little bit. So the Gemara says, sharp term is, what are the gateways that are exempt from mezuzah? Beis HaTeven, Beis HaBokar, Beis HaEitzim, Beis HaOtzros. So we'll say these are kids that we all said before. So a storage house for straw, a storage house for your cows, a storage house for wood. Beis HaOtzros means general storage areas. Ushari Shar HaMadi. So Shar HaMadi is interesting. Look at Rashi just a moment. Shar HaMadi. Rashi says it's like the last wide line on the top of Rashi. Shar Madi, Sha'osin Bekipa, Shekin Osin Bemadi. So we'll say Shar Madi are archways. Archways, the Bryce is now suggesting, or Shmuel is suggesting, are not Chayv Mezuzah. Remember, again, we'll say a classic doorway has vertical and horizontal beams. An archway, obviously, is arch. So Rabbi Yehuda, Shmuel Bar Yehuda is saying that an archway is not Chayv Mezuzah. Now, we'll say, why would that be? Because it doesn't satisfy the criteria as a doorway. So the Gemara says, Ushar She'eno Mekura. Similarly, if you have an entranceway that is not roofed, meaning it doesn't have the lintel, so it's not roofed. Vishar She'eno Gavua Yud. And similarly, if you have an entranceway that is not 10 tfachim high. So in all of these cases, Rabbi say again, it's not satisfying the basic criteria of the definition of a halachic doorway. Amrle, so he said to him, Pasachta b'shisha, you told me that there are six entranceways, that there are six entranceways that are apart from mezuzah, and yet you just listed seven. Misalachta b'shiva, Amrle, Shar Hamadi Tanahi. He said to him, well, you have to understand that this Shar Hamadi, which I guess literally means the median gate, the mamadai, the median gate, is a machlokes term. So we'll say an archway is a subject of much machlokes. What's the machlokes? This sign, listen to this, kippa. So I'll say kippa is an archway. It's an archway. I mean, kippa could literally mean a dome, right? But over here it means you have an arched entranceway. So what's the halacha? And we'll say it's very halacha l'maisa, because often in homes people don't have necessarily straight doorways. So what do you do in terms of mezuzah? Rabbi Meir says you chayiv b'mezuzah. Rabbi Meir says you have to put a mezuzah on it. The Chachamim potrin. And the Chachamim say that it's potrin. We'll say, look at Rashi. Rashi says, the Chachamim potrin, why? She'ein shar below rachatan. We'll say, we will see that the basic halachic dimensions of a doorway is 10 tefachim high and 4 tefachim wide. So the Chachamim will say that an archways inevitably deviated from those dimensions. Why? Because as the archway gets narrower on top, it no longer has the four tefachim of width. So the Gemara says, v'shavin, but both agree, shimyesh beragla asara, that if it has 10 tefachim what this literally means is, it has four tefachim of width and 10 tefachim of height. I mean, I will say, if you can imagine, if you have an archway that has four tefachim of width for 10 tefachim of height, and only after 10 tefachim does it begin to, curve, thank you, then everyone will agree that in that case, you're chayav in mezuzah. Why? Because in that case, you have the dimensions for a doorway. Shechayav is for mezuzah. Amar Abaye, the Kuli Alma, Gavoa Yud, the Ein Beragla Gimel, Lav Klomis. Everyone agrees about saying that if you have a door that has a height of 10 tefachim, but it doesn't even have an opening of 3 tefachim, meaning that it's a very narrow doorway. It only has, even Beragla Gimel, meaning Rabbi Osei actually means that it doesn't even have 3 tefachim of height with 4 tefachim of width. So meaning, again, it already begins to decrease the width of 4 tefachim within the first 3 tefachim of height, that is not even halachically called the doorway. It's not even a shayla of mezuzah. So the Gemara says, inami, or the other possibility is, yesh berag legimel ve'ina begavoa yud, or it has 3 tefachim of height with 4 tefachim of width, but the doorway itself is not 10 tefachim high. Everyone agrees, v'laf klomi, everyone agrees that Rabbi said this story doesn't have the basic dimensions for a doorway. Lo nechalku, where is the machlokas? Ela begof ha-gimel, ela begof ha-yod, the machlokas Rabbi says in the following case, where you have a doorway that has a height of 10 tefachim, v'yesh beragla gimel, and what does that mean? It has, the first 3 tefachim of height do have 4 tefachim of width. But what happens? V'ein berachva dalet, but the rest of it, so we'll say again, so just imagine this. You have a doorway now that's 10 tefachim high. For the first three tefachim of height, you have 4 tefachim of width. But then what happens? After the 10 tefachim of height, what begins to happen? The door begins to narrow. So as the rest of the 10 tefachim go up, you don't have 4 tefachim of width for the remainder of the height of the doorway. So what's the halacha? That's the machlokes case. So the Gemara says, v'yesh ba lochuk lahashlima l'arba. We'll say this is very interesting terminology. But what do you have? You have the ability, you have enough space to be able to chisel out the doorway. What does it mean, Rabbi Osei? That if you can imagine for a moment that this doorway is embedded in a wall. So what happens? Halachically, you could use your imagination, and what could you do? There's enough space there to hollow out a real doorway. Right? So if you can imagine, so again, I'm looking at the wall of the doorway. So remember, what do we have? It has 10 tefachim of opening. The first 3 tefachim of height have 4 tefachim of width that it begins to narrow. But technically speaking, the doorway could be hollowed out to create the dimensions of a bona fide doorway. So Rami Meir holds, Chokikin Lahashlim. Rami Meir says, we hollow it out to complete the door. And I will say again, Rami Meir is not suggesting house renovations. What is Rami Meir saying? Conceptually, since the area is there, we view the doorway as if it's hollowed out, and therefore this opening conforms to basic dimensions of mezuzah, and we chayv mezuzah. For Rabbanon, Sabi, the Rabbanon hold, Ein Chokikin Lahashlim. The Rabbanon say, no, we do not have this imaginary hollowing out to the doorway. We look at the dimensions for what they are, and therefore, in this case, you will not be chayv in mezuzah. Why? Because to be chayv in mezuzah, what do you need, Rabbi Osei? You need 10 tefachim of height with 4 tefachim of width. So the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanon. So fundamental machlokes Rami and the Rabbanon. Tan Rabbanon. Beis haknesses ubeis haisha beis hashutfin chayeves b'mezuzah. A shul, beis haisha means a woman's home, and a beis hashutfin means a home that is owned by partners. It's chayv in mezuzah. So say a woman's home would be pashtus, mean a home that a woman lives by herself in. So the Gemara says, Pshita. Okay, what's the chiddush over here? So Ma'utim, what I've thought, Beis Secha, I might have thought Torah says your home, the lo Beisa. Beis Secha could be understood in the masculine, and therefore it's definitely coming to say that only the house of a man is chayiv in mezuzah, but the house of a woman is not. Which will also be a very strange drasha, because there would be no reason to assume that a woman is exempt from mezuzah. Or Beis Secha, your home, singular, below Batehem, and not their home, joint, plural, meaning a home, I might have thought that maybe it's only a home that's owned individually, not a home that's owned jointly. Kamash Malon, that's not the case, and all of these other residences are chayv and mezuzah. Ve'ema ha'chinami, maybe you'll say, why don't we make this drasha, and indeed exclude these places? Amakra, leman yirbu yimechem, yimei v'nechem. Because the Torah says, you should put up the mezuzah, in order that you will have longevity of days and your children will have longevity of days. Hanu boy chayi, v'hanu lo boy chayi. Do you think we need life and these others don't need life? What, the man needs life and the woman doesn't need life? The individual owns the home needs life, but the joint partners don't need life? Ella beisecha lamali. So what does beisecha come to exclude? Kederav, the Amar Rava, derech bi'ascha. Where do you put the mezuzah, Rabbi Osai? You put the mezuzah on the way in which you enter the home. Dechi akar inish kar'ei diyimine akar beresha. Since Rabbi Osai, most people, when they walk, move their right foot before their left foot. Therefore, the way you will enter your home is with your right foot first. Therefore, essentially, it's your right side that enters into the home first. And therefore, what? The mezuzah is placed on the right side of the home. So, beisecha, we darshan beisecha derech bi'ascha. You go ahead and you put the mezuzah in the way in which you enter the home. You enter the home with your right side first. Therefore, the mezuzah is placed on the right. Tanya idoch, another verse that says, beisach neses, beisach shutfan, beisach isha, mitamin binigoyim. The Braisa says that a shul, or a jointly owned home, or a home owned by a woman, is subject to the laws of tzaras of the home. So the Gemara says, Pshita, that's obvious. What would I have thought? Uba asher lo habayis lo. I might have thought that since the Torah says, and he whom the house is, lo, velo, lo. I might have thought that the word lo comes to say it's only a man's home, not a woman's home. Lo, velo, lohen, or his home, and not a jointly owned home. Kamashmon, that's not the case. But why don't you say this indeed should be true? And therefore, again, either a woman's home or a jointly owned home should be exempt from the laws of tzaras. Amarkra, the pasuk says, the base eretz achuzaschem. So the Torah says, because it applies to all of the homes in the land in which you hold on to. Therefore, all of the homes of the land are subject to the laws of tzaras. Ela lo lamali. So what does the lo come to teach us? Misha miyachid. So also listen to this. Lamali. Misha miyachid beso lo. Because you know who gets tzaras in their home? Who gets tzaras in their home? Someone who people ask them for a favor. If somebody asks me to borrow things and I pretend like I don't have them, right? I'm miserly, I'm stingy, I don't want to lend my stuff to other people. But I don't want to say I don't want to lend to you. Instead, I just say I don't have it. So what happens? HaKadosh Baruch Hu mefarsimo. What does God do? God outs the individual. How does God out the individual? Kishemefana es beso. Because what happens when there's tzaras of the home? They have to take everything out of the home. So what happens? My neighbor sees, oh, I do have a snowblower. I do have a snowblower after all. What do you know? Right? So again, what happens if a person is stingy with their items, then ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu outs them and everybody sees that they really had it, but they chose not to share. Prat lemashiel kelo v'achirim. And this comes to exclude a case of somebody who lends his property to others, where lemaisa again, he won't get tzaras on them. So we'll have to stop over here. Yeah. But just again to review, we have a few basic machloksim, but the fundamental machlokis that we left off with today was the machlokis between Rav Kahana and Rav Yehuda. And the fundamental machlokis was about a stam storehouse, a storage area that is used for non-domicile purposes, for just pure storage purposes. Is it chayiv in mezuzah or not? And what comes out seems to be is that is a machlokes tanoi. It is a fundamental dispute. Mirat Hashem will resolve that dispute tomorrow. Get out.